Are we doing it?
Oh, you mother...
Oh my god, you guys, when I'm capturing the flag, you need to guard me! You need to guard me when I'm capturing the flag! Move out of my way!
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. Seven. Has joined the channel.
What the f*** is with this guy?
Fowler has joined the channel.
No! God, please, no! No!
Negative Apex has joined the channel.
How overpowered these pistols are!
Enemy pentakill.
They're capturing C! They're capturing C! Oh my god, they're capturing C. Now we're gonna lose.
This sucks.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. I am your host, Lance, a.k.a. Sev, joined by my awesome friends. What are y'all's names? Josh, a.k.a. Negative Apex, and Ian.
My name's Jan.
Jan, a.k.a. Ian, a.k.a. Negative Prowler.
What?
What?
Dude.
Negative Prowler.
Oh my god.
Negative Prowler.
He's the new Negative Nancy of the group. Sorry, Josh. You have to be completely positive from here on out.
That is true, because we played the Wildstar beta, and Ian was all, like, pissing about everything.
Whoa!
Yeah.
I
think that word pissing is used pretty well on that.
I
believe so.
Like, literally Frick. Pissing all over the place. Awesome.
I think at one point he may have pissed on his computer.
Well, that's not completely... That's not the strangest thing he's ever done.
Nope.
That's true. I went over to his house one time, and his like computer was really sticky, and he claimed that he had spilled milk on it.
Oh, milk.
You know, just because there's white-ish hard goo on my keyboard doesn't mean I got too excited, okay?
What were you watching?
You know,
remember that Thomas the Train Engine stuff we were talking about?
Yeah.
If your stupid computer didn't make that noise, I wouldn't, you know, explode. No.
Does it make you get excited every time I do it, Ian?
Oh, yeah. Choo choo. Chug chug.
Oh, God.
Now I'm Josh. Josh did this, what, weeks ago, and now I'm doing it again. Oh, I hate you, Josh.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio, everybody. The show that never talks about video games.
Mm-hmm.
So, what have you guys been up to this weekend? A particular awesome, cool beta that came out?
Yeah.
I played this game that was awful. Like, I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Like, really? I played this game that was like really awesome and was like amazing.
Now,
oh, so you played Final Fantasy?
No, I played Wildstar. I think you played Final Fantasy.
No. In his dreams, he was actually... See, this was all a hallucination. He thought he was playing Final Fantasy when, in fact, he was actually playing Tor.
That's a nightmare, okay? Yeah, that's not funny.
That's not even a dream, yeah. That's totally a nightmare.
So, yeah, guys, we were playing Wildstar this weekend, and if you guys were keeping in touch with us for the past week, last week... Then we were giving away codes, and sadly, there weren't enough for everybody. But hopefully, there's more beta weekends that are coming out. So I think actually, in particular, this weekend, right, is one that's going to be open to everybody that signed up for the beta. Well, guess what? You've got an invitation. And today, for the most part of the episode, we're going to be talking about our impressions, our pros and cons of the game, because we played it a lot throughout the weekend. So we're going to go through each of us and just talk about, you know, what was our pros and cons. So, Josh, I know you have the most out of all of us, so I'm actually going to save you for last, if that's cool. Maybe? Yes? No?
I see how
yeah,
it
yeah,
is.
Yeah. Okay. Dude, I've got,
I'm
like...
not important. You're going to save the best for last.
Well, see, here's the thing. Yeah, when Josh goes on, I'm actually going to go take a nap. And then I'm going to come back
I believe
in an hour.
You're going to have to add another 3 hours to the show.
Hey, I've been looking forward to the beta for a long time.
That's an understatement. Understatement.
So, without further ado, Ian, actually, since you feel like you're not important, why don't you go first, my friend?
Okay, so we're going pros and cons?
Yes, sir. I'll just start
with my general experience.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. That's good. I thought the game was awesome. To an extent. The classes are really, really cool. I like the fact that the medic is not a... I dislike this. I like the fact that healing classes, it's not tab targeting. It's more like AoE or what's around you. It makes it more difficult to heal in this game. So that makes it a little bit more fun than tabbing through your party and going, okay, I got to heal him.
It's different.
Yeah, it's different. But at the same time, it's a huge learning curve.
You played more than one class, though, right? You played a DPS and a healer, correct?
Yeah, which I mainly played a healer, but yes, I did play a DPS for a small bit. The DPS wasn't nearly as fun or different. And I thought that a lot of the range classes or mid-range classes took more advantage of Wildstar's combat system. Right. So I didn't want to play something that was too similar to what I'm used to. So that's why I did that.
I think that's the general take on a lot of MMO players nowadays. They want something very different than just the regular cookie-cutter, point-and-click kind of thing.
Yeah. I guess I'll keep going with the positive stuff right now because I have a lot of negative stuff. Like I said, the classes are really cool and unique. And I think that's like the draw to the game for myself right now is, like you said, people want something different. And when you're learning a brand new game like this and you're learning these skills and goes, oh, it does this, oh, it does that. Not, oh, I leveled up my heal, now it does this much healing. Or it crits for this much. Right. Oh, yay. Yeah, so like I get different AoE effects, I get different dots, I get different hots. That was really cool.
Do you feel like
undead alien things? Those are like all my pros. That's it.
The boar dash?
Yeah, the boar dash are like freaking awesome, man.
Basically, like what you were just saying was like WildStar isn't a numbers game anymore. Most MMOs that you play, like we're just take WoW for example. You know, obviously it's the largest one. Most people have played it. WoW is basically a number game when you go into a raid. You say, okay, my tank has this much health, my healer can heal this much, the DPS can do this amount of damage in this amount of time, we can win this raid.
Yeah.
In WildStar, it's totally different because the movement-based combat.
Yeah, it's like, can my healer dodge? Can my tank dodge? Can my whole party dodge? Because if you can't, we're all going to wipe. And when we did that raid last night, or the little mission thing, that one little mission, I was probably jabbing my keyboard way more than any of the hardest raids we did in tour.
You were jabbing your keyboard?
Yes, I was jabbing my keyboard.
Jabbing his keyboard, that's why it's all sticky.
Anyway, well, like I said, like having to jump around and, oh, I got to go over here, I got to do this, I got to do that. Trying to keep track of everybody, and I have such a small range of heals, it was really, really difficult. And, I mean, that was fun and annoying at the same time. It was annoying because you guys kept jumping out of the enemy's AoEs. And then jumping out of my heels at the same time. Yeah. So.
It definitely takes a lot more group coordination.
Oh, yeah.
And then skill on just everybody's
part. I can't tell you how many times I wanted to scream at, please stop running. I don't care if you're going to take damage. I can heal for you for more. And you guys are like, oh, run, run.
Didn't you know running away is the best tactic when you're dying?
Yeah.
Run away from help. Run away from the tank. Dude, the worst thing... The worst thing I hated so much about tanking was when somebody would pull aggro, they would run from me, and I'm like running behind the mob as the mob is running after him, and I'm like trying to tell him, run to me, and they keep running away from me. People are idiots, man.
Do you want me to go over the cons, or...
Was that all your pros?
That is all my pros.
Then give us the cons.
Okay. Questing in this game.
Wait. Do we have like Empire music to go with
this?
Funny. Or?
you're really funny. Questing in this game is no different than any other MMO. Don't go into this game thinking the story or the questing is, you know, exciting or awesome. It's mainly the combat that's going to draw you in. The questing is very grindy. And going to combat, even though I said that was a pro, it's really fun. At the same time, I can see where it'd be too easy, especially with raid bosses and such. There just isn't as much fun learning like a high level boss and going, oh, that's why we wiped because he did this skill at this time. It's more like dodging. Oh, I died because I didn't dodge, not because we didn't know he was going to do that skill.
Well, I mean, there's a certain... I mean, I don't think you're... Specifically, you're only going off one adventure. As far
I know,
as
but
like
the whole
large raid bosses, they're still
going to
be doing...
Way.
Right, and but raid bosses are still going to be doing certain skills at certain points, and there's probably going to be a tell to, okay, well, the group sees that, you know, he's raising his arm, so we all need to do a certain maneuver, you know, to make sure that we don't take a bunch of damage.
Yeah, I know, but just having the damage circles or plots around you, it does simplify... the combat a lot.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying on that. The only thing that I have to say against that is they did say that I'm not sure if it was weekly or bi-weekly, but the bosses would change in raids.
I believe there's like they can change, like small things can change every single time you enter the dungeon. And then I believe, yeah, like different tactics change, and yeah. So you're constantly having to evolve your tactics as you play. Once you clear a dungeon, it's never going to be exactly the same.
Well, that's what I'm saying is they have to do that, because if they didn't, it would be a really boring game. It would. Oh,
it's
hey
true.
Guys,
but you think
dodge
about...
those. Three red circles that's in front of him, and then dodge his AoE and then do this.
But you think about, like, okay, the adventure we did last night, the last boss, how much AoE was coming down at times that there was no pattern to it. There's no way you could learn the pattern from the amount
of
AoE.
It was like an ADD kid spamming the AoE. That's
right,
what that
and
boss
so
was.
And so at that point, it's purely reactive and skill that keeps you alive. Reaction times and skill that keeps you alive, because there's no way of learning that pattern.
Yeah.
And so, although the boss does certain things at certain times, and you can prepare for those things, at other times it keeps it interesting because you don't know where exactly those red dots are coming down. And for the boss that we specifically fought, there was so many that there were just very small areas that were okay to be in, but then you immediately had to move because that area wasn't okay to be in. You had to get to the other area before you took a massive damage. And so it takes a lot of, I think it keeps it interesting because it takes a lot of skill and reaction time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, It is a different combat, but at the same time, people that are used to, like, vanilla WoW or traditional MMOs may find it a little bit easier. I still think it's more easier, even though I understand what you're saying. Anyway, my last point would be the whole combat of moving around, jumping around, you know, having to dodge this, having to dodge that, doesn't match the spawning system in the game for questing. I know you guys didn't have the same problem I did, but
well, we were
me and another person,
too, though,
that's all we ran into was we'd be in a fight. It's not like I ran around the whole map and aggroed two or three mobs. It was like I dodged one skill and aggroed another group and I died. I could not stand that. And it's either I stay in the line of fire or I dodge and aggro. That's the choice that I had. I didn't have any other choice.
Yeah, see, I played a spellcaster, which is a light armor ranged caster, obviously. And I didn't have that problem as much as you talked about having it. And I think what people are going to have to learn while they're questing is just kind of have to keep track of the mobs around you so that you know which way to dodge and where you can go. Because I think that's what the creators wanted was, you know, that kind of hectic, I'm fighting this mob, but I wasn't paying attention and I ran into this other mob because it's a very movement-based combat system.
Yeah, but that's what
and there's
I'm
that
saying
risk.
Is what they designed and what they want people to do doesn't match. That the mob system in the game is the same as any other MMO we play. But yeah, the combat requires us to move everywhere. And you cannot do that. Of course, I know it was a beta. We played a beta. Things are going to change. They're definitely going to change. And hopefully that's something that's worked out. Like, we talked about the NPC spawning and how awful it was. Either it was too much or not enough. But when you factor that into questing by yourself, it did become almost impossible at times for me.
Yeah. Well, I will agree with that. Yeah, spawn rates were a little wonky for some things. But of course, we did talk about that. It was also a beta. But I'll just kind of leave it as I didn't have anywhere near as much of an issue with it.
They should have taken challenges out of the beta.
Yeah,
period.
I agree. I really hated those challenges.
Yeah,
it was like, kill 40 of these things. Well, there's one.
Yeah, I don't like that the challenges are timed. Because most of the time I'm on a quest, I want to complete that quest, the challenge pops up, and it usually distracts me from my quest. Because it's usually not related to the exact same mob. It's like related to a mob around that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't particularly like a lot of the challenges. Some of them were, I will say some of them were cool. Some of them did have plenty of you know, spawn to deal with the challenges.
And some of them were very easy. So.
Right. And yeah. And so, but others definitely need to be reworked. I found it very challenging to get gold on my challenges. I would usually end up with bronze, like no matter what challenge it was, I almost always would end up with a bronze, and it was very rare to get a silver or gold medal on my challenges.
I got gold once.
I never got gold. And see, I think you're right about that. I think it was bugged. It could have been because I finished a challenge almost immediately after I had received it, and I still got bronze. It didn't really make any sense to me.
Yeah, it could have been bugged. But definitely would like to see before the game gets released the challenge system worked out and fleshed out a little bit more. I would agree with that.
Cool. So,
but
Ian,
that's all I have to say about it.
Great.
So.
Yeah, there's a lot of good information, and that, you know, it's nice to see, like, you know, our three, we're gonna have three different viewpoints on it, which is nice.
Are you playing Shenmue?
Yeah. Yeah. It's back when we did our top 10 video game list. I have the music on shuffle through all the music that I played.
Oh, okay.
There. Yeah.
That music has been stuck in my head for a long time. Doesn't go away.
My general, if the music is too distracting, let me know and I'll turn it down. My general thought on the whole thing was I really liked the game a lot. I haven't really been playing any MMOs since a year after The Old Republic came out. And just being able to participate in this beta kind of rejuvenated that old MMO new feel to it. Even though a lot of stuff was very similar to many other MMOs out there, I still really felt like I was getting back into something new, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
The questing system... that's pretty much my general impressions of it. The pros... I really liked the combat. Which is funny, because in the beginning, I really disliked the combat. Early levels up until about level 10... I really started to enjoy it. I actually started to get used to the abilities. I don't know if that's, a double-edged sword or whatever.
Yeah, it's like when you get more skills, it becomes more enjoyable.
Yeah, because I will say the first few levels was really difficult to get through. Like, I had to push myself through it. But after I got used to how the abilities work and the movement combat and everything, I really liked it, and I really think that it's a great idea what they're doing. My other thing was I really liked the world. The graphics, it's funny. I thought about this. I know yesterday I was saying I didn't really like the graphics at all, but I thought about it today, and I like the style that they're going with because, this whole game is kind of comedic. The way you level up is absolutely hilarious. It's different. Like, you know, this guy comes on and he's like, "That's effing amazing." And then it's like, another time he might
call you cupcake.
Yeah. And, so I was like, okay, these guys obviously have this sense of humor. And that kind of reflects with the graphics and everything, their style of art that they have. I really think it's a cool idea. The world is obviously open. There's no real instances. I mean, there's a few places you had to go through a loading screen through or cinematic through, but nothing really too bad. So I really liked that. And then, that was 3, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to make a comment on that, how you said it was an open world. I found it very similar to World of Warcraft.
Yes.
The only instances I really remember are for the adventure, and changing from zone to zone was just like World of Warcraft, as you just keep on riding through. There was no like loading times or anything like that.
Right, and that actually kind of goes into one of my cons, which isn't really that bad or that big of a deal, and I wouldn't really have listed it first, but just because you said that, I'm going to say it now. I felt like there should have been more taxis. It was getting really frustrating running around everywhere from one outpost to another. I got to level 13. I only found 2 taxis. So that was kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
But again, not a big deal. Not a huge big deal. Not enough to make me be like, oh my god, so mad. But I really hope, maybe there's more. Maybe there's a lot more of the taxis later on. But anyway,
can I comment on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I found that there was about 2 taxis per zone, so definitely not as much as some other games. But I think it ends up being okay as you get a mount at level 15, which is extremely early. I was level 17 at the end of this beta, so it doesn't take a very long time to get to 15. And once you get to 15, you can buy your first mount. I had the money for it very easily, and so after I had my mount, it wasn't hard to get around. And with the 2 taxis per zone, I think they could have it would have helped a lot for the early levels having a little bit more taxis. But I think in the long run, it's not going to be a huge deal.
Yeah, like I said, it's not a big deal. It's just something personally that I would have liked to see more of. Oh, speaking of which, the mounts. Does anyone know, by any chance, if the mounts are only or like organic mounts, or are there any mechanical? Like,
oh, I had a motorcycle.
There's mechanical.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I had a motorcycle. So there was a motorcycle. There was like this Tauntaun creature from Star Wars. There was a horse-like creature, and then there was this like lizard type creature, almost like the one that Obi-Wan Kenobi was riding
in episode three.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure. I remembered a long time ago I saw a guy like on a hoverboard.
Yes, I actually saw that mount. It's a higher level mount, but I saw it in the vendor.
Yeah. That's so cool. The other thing I didn't like was the UI. The UI, I thought, was very sloppy and cluttered. But later on, Josh, you did say something about you can change some of the interface around. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe so. I did change, like, I could change, you know, where, obviously, like, where my health bar, where the enemy health bar was. I didn't get to explore it very much, but in the main options, there was a like a list of like add-ons, like you would see in World of Warcraft as they used to do, you know, the third-party add-ons that you could change the interface. I didn't get to explore that any, but there was a huge list of it, so I imagine that if you take the time to learn it, you could probably change around the UI.
Yeah, and that's good, and I hope that is the case. I mean, the AI just seems so cluttered and so much going on in it that it just didn't really seem that pretty, that you know, that friendly, user-friendly. There we go.
And it was glitchiest thing in the beta.
And see, yes. And that is actually my other con, which I know it is a beta, but oh my god, the bugs was so annoying in this game.
Yeah,
I cannot recall a beta that I had played. I mean, I felt like I was playing the old original DayZ mod. Like, so many bugs.
Yes.
And I know that this is beta, but the thing is, you know, it's only coming out a few months. It's only got a few months left till the release date, which is June 3rd, I think. And, I mean, that's not a whole lot of time, but I know that there's still going to be bugs at release, you know, I'm fully aware of that, but just the amount of bugs, like particularly with the UI bugs, was probably the most frustrating. And then the whole thing about the spawns, but I don't know if they were bugging or if it was on purpose, but it was like, same thing you said, Ian, it was like, there was either too many spawns coming out quickly, or they weren't coming out fast enough. So, you know, that's my only thing. So again, like, I really liked the game a lot. I really enjoyed it. So my cons weren't really anything that major, honestly. But nonetheless, you know, there they are.
I don't think Josh has any cons.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he's got to.
So I have more or less an overview of my experience. I think it's safe to say I was the one that played the game the most between everybody. I had a level 17
biased.
I had a level 17 character and a level 16 character and several other like level 6 and 7 characters by the time the beta ended. So I pretty much played this game nonstop during the weekend. So to start off with, I will talk about the UI, and I will talk about how, yes, there were so many glitches in this beta. It was horrible, really. On the plus side, I don't think that UI glitches is going to be a huge problem at launch. I imagine it's something that is fairly easy to work through. So I hope to see an improvement as we go along before launch on that system. But yeah, I'll totally agree that there was way too many glitches in the UI. Another thing was the in-game menu. It was a bit hard to maneuver through. There seemed to be not enough options, and some things weren't where you would think they would be. So I think they could improve on the in-game menu a little bit. Yeah. I'll say the same thing. I think it was Lance that said this, was that the screen was just too clustered. There was just too much going on, and it was very distracting.
Yeah, I had to turn off my Datacron. So
yeah, I had to too. It was it would not go down, and I think that's a bug. It just wouldn't go away. So yeah, there was just way too much just stuff on your screen. I think they could slim down the UI interface and make the, especially for movement based combat, like you need to have the information that you need, and then all the other stuff needs to be kind of in the background. Because you need to know what's going on in this movement, you know, based combat. One of the largest and most irritating bugs was that party members' name tags would just disappear. So it was so hard to keep track of where your party members were around you, and that made it much harder to heal into tank.
Yeah, and I would have put that on my list, but I would have sounded like a hater. So, but yeah, like there was a point when I was questing with somebody, and they were like, "Hey, I'm right next to you." I'm like, "What?"
Yeah, you like they were just there. You couldn't see name tags, so you didn't realize, oh, that's not, you know, you know, especially with the Auron, it's like, oh, that's not a speck of dust.
I completely agree with that.
But I think that's something that could fairly easily get flushed out. Just that the name tags kept disappearing, and I don't know why. Another thing was the map. When you were looking at the map and you were in a party, it was very hard to tell where your teammates were going. There was a little bit of lag between where they actually were and where it showed on your map. And the fact that there were only
calming it down.
It was a little.
It was not a little.
Well, you're just a hater. It was a little.
No,
anyways.
I'm telling you, I was questing with somebody, and on my map, it showed them, like, on another area of the map, like, not even the same region. And I looked on my mini map, and they were right next to me.
Are you sure it was them? Because I was going to go into the fact.
Yes, I was sure it was them.
It was
the only person I had at my party.
I was going to say, I don't like the fact that they share, like, outpost white dots with the white dots of your party members.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's a really good
I made
point.
Sure it was her. And
right.
And then she's like, hey, I'm right here. I'm like, huh?
Yeah, that totally needs to be changed. I don't like the fact that they're sharing that, you know, item or whatever, the signal as to, you know, where your party members is. Because I'm looking there, I'm like, oh, that's an outpost. That's not them. So that was my main points for the UI. Most of that was negative because they totally need to work on the UI.
It sucked.
So going into questing could be a bit confusing at times. I didn't have anywhere near a problem as Ian had, though. Your main map, when you know you press M, it shows yellow exclamation points of all the quests, though. This includes quests that you need to pick up, quests that you've completed, and quests that you have taken but are not completed. So looking at your map is extremely hard to tell what you need to do, because you can go into a town, look at your map, and say, there's 20 exclamation points here, but I don't know which ones are ready to turn in, which ones I need to get, and which ones I already have. I hated that. I did not like it whatsoever. I could work around it. It wasn't game breaking, but it was a huge inconvenience. And it's a very simple thing to change, is just use different quests, you know, a bright yellow one for one that you've taken, a grayed one for one that you've taken, and the yellow one for one you need to take. And then a check mark for ones you've completed. You know, it's very easy. They need to change that. The quest tracking. Now I'm talking about the where you had the quest on the side of your screen, much like they had in WoW, where you know all your quest was on the side of your screen that you were tracking. This was extremely effective. I liked this. It would list the quest by which one was closest to you with numbers. So one was the closest one to you, 14 was the farthest one away from you. It would tell you which ones were completed, and when you clicked on the name, it would have an arrow on your screen that showed you where the quest was and how far away it was. So that was extremely effective. I liked that a lot. On the downside, when you used your map, your M key for quest tracking, that was a huge downfall on their part. It would tell you where on the map the quest was, and it would even tell you the radius of the quest, and like, you know, where you could find the mobs and such. But unfortunately, if the quest was underground in a cave, it could be very misleading. I remember sitting there in the quest area going, okay, you know, what am I supposed to do? There's nothing here. And it would show you where you needed to be, but it did not tell you it was underground, and it didn't tell you where the entrance was. Now, on the upside, if you were using your quest tracker on your screen, which for the first half of the beta wasn't working, but the second half they did a patch and it started working for me just fine. But the quest tracker on your screen, when you click that arrow, any of the quests that were underground in a cave, it would take you to the entrance. So using your map was extremely difficult, but using the quest tracker on screen without had the arrow and like how far it was from you was extremely effective. So that's good and bad. There's another little aspect about it that I just kind of find that I found enjoyable. And it wasn't a lot, but there was a few quests that you like played little mini games on. There was like little timing challenges, little Simon Says challenges, and a few other different things. And while these were easy enough not to be frustrating, they gave you just kind of a small change of pace every once in a while. And it wasn't like it was every quest. It wasn't like it was every other quest. It was every once in a while. It was easy enough to do that it wasn't, you know, extremely frustrating. It wasn't frustrating at all for me. And it just kind of changed the pace of it a little bit. And I just found it interesting that they did it. As far as combat goes, combat is fun, innovative, intuitive, and sometimes extremely chaotic.
Or aggravating. Aggravating goes with it too.
I didn't really ever get aggravated with it
because I'm a tank and I can take all this damage.
I played a spellcaster to level 17 and my tank was 15 or 16. So, maybe you just complained about that. Anyways, the animations for the characters were great. The casting system had a easy learning curve. And the worst of the enemy attacks could be dodged by the red tails that they would put on the ground. In the adventure that I was able to do a few times on the last day, I was really able to get a feel for the dungeons. Healing, as I did it, I did a healing a few times, and it was just fast and furious. I found myself trying to dodge, trying to heal, and then trying to click on the portraits of the players, because I had my two strongest heals were actually click-to-cast skills, not AoEs. And so I'm trying to dodge and cast and click on different characters all at the same time. And it was just chaotic and very challenging. Tanking was also very challenging as I found myself trying to hold aggro while dodging and kind of keep track of where my teammates were, making sure that the mobs were on me as I was watching, you know, where I needed to be so that I wasn't taking unnecessary damage. I was able to craft only a little bit on the last day of the beta, but I found it very reminiscent of WoW. you can, you know, go out in the real world, find mats, then you use a crafting station to make the items that you want. And I didn't really find anything largely innovative here. Basically, I found it sticking to the tried and true. Unfortunately, I didn't get to get very far in the crafting.
I have to interrupt you for a second. Did anyone notice that if somebody else grabbed the supplies, you couldn't get them? Like, nothing was shared, right? Like, once you got it,
I don't know,
it was
actually
gone.
Yeah, the supply nodes were not shared.
Okay.
But
yeah, I couldn't remember.
This kind of goes into one of the things I was talking. I was going to say is that there was a very interesting way of gathering the resource nodes. You could run up and you would, instead of right clicking on it and waiting 4 seconds for it to go through the slow animation. Okay, 4 seconds later, my loot box pops up, take the loot, and go on my merry way. Instead of doing that, you just kind of run up, shoot it with your guns, and it would explode into a glorious shower of resources. And this method that they chose allowed me to farm resources while I was in combat. There was no, you know, I run up to a node, start channeling, halfway through I get hit by a level 1 mob and I've got to, you know, waste time killing stuff and then get my resources again. If I arranged myself in combat, I could take out the node, take out my enemy, get the resources and leave. Or I could just get the resources, avoid the mob, grab the resources and run away. And this seemed to mix very well with the movement-based combat that Carbine Studios is going for. The different crafting professions, this is just kind of a list of them. I wrote them down. You could be a weaponsmith, an armor, and a miner. And that mining goes with weaponsmith and armor. You could be an outfitter, which is the medium level crafting, and survivalist is the gathering profession that goes with that. You could be a technologist, which was basically like getting med supplies and stuff. And relic hunter went with that one. Architect, I read that this borrows from all of the gathering professions and is one of the most in-depth and hardest of the crafting professions. This is where you can build just a ton of different stuff, a lot like Star Wars Galaxies, where you can build like house items and furniture and just a ton of different, like, large variety of things. There was Tailor that did not require any crafting procession because you got the cloth that you needed off of humanoid mobs. And then there was Cook, which was the free profession. You were allowed to have 2 professions plus Cook. So usually it would be 1 crafting and 1 gathering.
I didn't know that. I never did get a chance to pick up cooking.
Yeah. Is it so? I like cooking. I got to play around with it just a little bit, and I like it.
Yeah, I'm not a woman, so I never experienced it.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The housing system. that I just ignore Ian. The
this
housing.
Is why we have Ian on the show.
Go make me a sandwich right now.
Screw you. I'm going to make a sandwich and eat it myself, damn it.
What if I make you a sandwich, but in actuality it's for me? Then what?
I don't know.
Oh my god. Okay, housing system.
Yes. So the housing system. this was one of the brightest gems of the beta. The only con I could find was that the housing system was instanced. On the brighter side of that, you can make players your neighbors, which allows them to visit your plot anytime they want. And you can choose to share your resources with your neighbors, which would allow them to come and gather your materials for you, and they could take some, and you could either have the option to let them have all of the materials they gathered from you, or they could gather some of it, and then it would go to you. So this would be nice if you weren't able to play a lot and you had friends that were playing a lot. They could just go to your place, harvest all of your materials, and they would gain from it and you would gain from it. So this kind of goes into the next point, is you can have natural resources. There are six other slots to your plot other than your main house. And these you can fill with a bunch of different items, such as gardens, mines, relic dig sites, and all three of those are your gathering professions, and you know, all of your other gathering professions as well. Is you can, you know, plant those on your, you know, your house plot, and it actually kind of boosts your gathering. So especially if you're not able to be on a lot, it's a small boost. Like as soon as you get on, you can get some extra materials to craft with. But there was also a lot of other really cool stuff. You could get barbecue pits, crafting station, crash ships, ponds, a hobo train, which was awesome, and I'm totally getting one. power generators, tiki lounge, a hedge maze, and just a bunch of other things. What I listed was only a very small fraction of your choices. The decorating on the inside of your house, and you could even decorate outside, was probably the best part. When I started working on my house, I exclaimed over Mumble, like, this is better than Star Wars Galaxies. Arranging your furniture and your decorations was extremely easy, and I found myself just being a pro at moving everything around, doing everything I wanted to very easily, extremely fast. The controls were very intuitive on you know, changing your house around and making it yours. And you could, you know, put things on the walls, you could resize things, you could do whatever you want. It was Star Wars Galaxies, but it was way easier to manage. So I really like the housing system. If anybody experienced the Star Wars Galaxies housing system and they've been looking for a housing system like that, WildStar is definitely the way to go. Just some other kind of random things that I noted about the game was there was a mentoring system, which I really liked. This system allowed you to downscale your level to a lower level player that you wanted to play with. Like if I was
you totally did tell me about that.
If you were like level 50 and you wanted to play with your level 20 buddy, you just mentor them and you can play with them. And I really like that. Instead of the standard WoW tree, you know, the talent tree, you can spend attribute points to increase the performance of the skills that you use. And it adds, it'll increase their damage, or it'll add certain effects to them, or, you know, it'll increase their utility, like cooldowns, or, you know, every skill had different things. And so you could, you know, whatever skills that you like to use, you could put attribute points into them. There was also a amp system alongside of your attribute points. And this kind of reminded me of Path of Exile and what it looked like. And you can spend your points here to give your character passive traits. Now, you could also have action sets, which is something that most MMOs have not had right off the bat. WoW got it a while back, and you know, I don't even think, well, Tor just got it like a little bit ago. But these action sets allow you to change the setup of your character, allowing you to have two different builds. While I was using my spellcaster, I used mine to make a solo DPS build and then an adventure healing build. And this allowed me literally to change my style of gameplay. If I was playing solo and I wanted to heal for an adventure, two clicks, and I was, you know, I was a healer and I was ready to go for an adventure. So I love that. And that's pretty much my overview and my pros and cons of WildStar.
Cool. So overall, I think it's safe to say that we enjoyed this game a lot. I mean, yes? No?
Some of us did.
I mean, yeah, okay, so, Josh, would you buy the game?
I am planning on buying the game, yes.
Ian, would you buy the game?
I would buy the game if I didn't have to pay monthly for it, yes.
Okay. Myself, yes, I'm gonna buy the game. So, that was our...
But you have to pay monthly for it,
yeah,
so...
Yeah,
don't know. We'll yeah.
Well, you also have to note that you can pay monthly for it, but you can also, there's a system set up that you can use in-game currency to purchase game time from other players.
That's true.
So technically, you can play it free to play.
Okay.
Yeah. I can see that, but I mean, would you really want to go through all that effort? I don't know.
If you don't want to spend the money on the game, and you have a
discussion that we will argue over.
We'll see how much money it takes once the game comes out, and how easy it is or how hard it is to play free to play, and we'll talk about that later.
So that was our first impressions of the WildStar beta. You know, there's going to be another beta weekend coming out this weekend, and then there's going to be an open beta sometime in May, and we'll make sure to let everyone know once we find out when that is. So yeah, that's our first impressions of WildStar. So that's pretty much like most of the episode that we just spent. We have about 10 minutes left. Josh, do you want to go ahead and do your quickie, and then I'll go ahead and get into the LCS recap?
Okay, cool. For my quickie this week, Watch Dogs.
Hang on, 1 second.
I'm gonna
cue up the music.
It.
I'm gonna cue up the music. Hang on,
buddy. You can't stop his quickie, man.
Yeah, it's a quickie. Now it's turning into a longie.
It goes everywhere.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's like once it starts, it's really hard to keep it inside.
All
right, Watch Dogs will run at 1080p on the PS4, while Xbox One's resolution is unknown.
Of course.
PS4 has now sold over 7 million units worldwide.
Woohoo!
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 for the Xbox One has possibly been canceled. Activision is quoted as saying when and whether ASM 2 is released on Xbox One is to be determined, end quote. The Last of Us Remastered is set to arrive June 20th, and it'll cost $60. Respawn Entertainment stated that it would be increasing the frequency and quality of its Titanfall updates. Deadlight is free right now on the Xbox 360 if you have Gold membership. And that's my quickie for this week. Boom.
Awesome. Thank you. So, the LCS. Last week, this was the finals for the LCS in North America. LCS, mind you. I'm not going to go over CLG and Curse. I'm going to focus mainly on TSM and Cloud9, considering that was the finals. We're not talking about the semifinals. So, this was a... I believe it was best of five. Yes. So, we had the two top North American teams going to head-to-head. For the number one spot for the title of being the number one team in North America. But of course, this is League of Legends and video games. You're still going to be behind the Koreans. It's just going to happen. So in game one,
Asians OP.
In game one, it wasn't looking great for TSM. They did everything right. They were forcing the 2v2. Picking smartly to account for Ball's dominance. They picked up Lee Sin, Xin Zhao for extreme early game strength. They were able to abuse Bjergsen's early lead over Hai to force the dragon for the team. But 11 minutes into the game, the gold was actually exactly even. Ball's was up by 20 CS. Meteos was up by 10. Sneaky was up also by 10. And then Cloud9 showed why their mid-game is probably the most feared mid-games in all of America. They were able to snowball quickly to three kills. Hai challenged Bjergsen with LeBlanc and won, picking up a one-on-one. Cloud9 used the momentum to pick up Dragon. And from there, the game was just simply out of control. Cloud9 took over the path from mid lane to Baron. And whenever TSM tried to position to protect one, Cloud9 took gains elsewhere. So taking a tower after tower mid while completely dominating Baron with ward control. They repeatedly threatened Baron and then caught TSM's mid rotation for kills, using their power plays to push again and again eventually picking up the minute inhibitor. Dyrus did manage to catch Sneaky out of position with a teleport dragon kick, but it was the only kill that TSM would pick up, which ended in 18-1. 18-1 in a 39-minute victory. So game one went to Cloud9. Game two gave a bit of hope to TSM fans everywhere. With an awkward pick by Balls, taking Jax into an already picked Renekton, which obviously we know Renekton does counter Jax. But High shuts Dyrus down with an 8-minute roam top, netting first blood for Balls' Jax, and giving Cloud9 their first gold lead of the game. TSM was able to respond by roaming into Dragon, but Cloud9 picked up 2 kills and the healthy amount of damage on the top tower. It was starting to look like a repeat of Game 1, but Bjergesen roamed top, picking up 2 consecutive kills on Balls and taking down the top tower. And however, this only delayed the inevitable. Cloud9 continued to rotate for objective after objective after objective. TSM actually seemed the tiniest bit ahead of Cloud9, but the teeniest bit ahead of the lead against a 4-2 Jax kept feeling slimmer and slimmer. In the end, it was Cloud9's continued dominance of mid lane, as it always is, as in Game 2, which allowed them to win. TSM continued to take objectives elsewhere, but Cloud9 constantly returned to push mid. TSM thought that they had a chance to Baron, as Meteos had been forced to go back, but the remaining 4 members of Cloud9 outfought TSM at Baron, picking up 4 kills. The Star Wars music's playing now. But the remaining 4 members of Cloud9, yeah, they were able to fight them, picking up 4 kills, Baron and a mid inhibitor, which resulted in Game 2, which actually ended with a score of 21-4. So Game 3, this was the game that TSM, this was their only chance to come back. Game 3, technically speaking, was almost a perfect game. 19 minutes and 30 seconds passed with entirely even gold and not a single kill despite 5 towers and a dragon. A roam top by High and Lumination barely picked up first blood on Dyrus. Sorry, an out of position, really, is what it was. Out of position Dyrus. But the gold remained consistently even throughout the game. 25 minutes into the game, TSM tried to rotate onto Dragon, but a brilliant spell shield onto Twisted Fate allowed him to ult him into the Dragon pit, forcing a retreat from TSM. Dyrus, however, went straight for the middle of TSM, leaving him separated from his team by the threat of Jax's stun from Balls. And by the time TSM could respond, Dyrus was dead. So Cloud9 picked up Dragon and the first appreciable gold lead, which was about 3.5k. So Cloud9 did the same thing. They abused mid. They took Baron. excuse me. Any attempt by TSM to respond to all of their objectives was shut down immediately by a pick initiated by Hyde's Twisted Fate and from the Baron buff. Cloud9 pushed down bottom and then top lane, down straight to the inhibitor. They pushed in to win from another commanding lead, which ended with 15 kills and 1 death. This was giving Cloud9 a perfect victory over TSM, which is very surprising considering the fact that how easily it seemed that they had won. The MVP of the game was easily High, with LeBlanc, Twisted Fate, and Lulu. Mainly, his initiations were just spot on. Able to have Lumination come up behind him and follow up on those initiations. So, even though I am a TSM fan, you do have to give credit to Cloud9 for taking the victory and making it seem so easy. But, lo and behold, there you have it, your North American LCS champions. And that was my recap of week 12. It's been really fun watching. XDG didn't even really make it into the finals at all. They were last in almost every week. So it was really interesting to see what would happen to them. But it was really enjoyable to watch. I'm sure all the fans really enjoyed it too. So, guys, that's our show, our WildStar theme show. Thanks for listening. Josh, Ian, thanks for coming on. And come back next week and listen. Hope you guys all have a great evening.